Hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. Today is January 1 of 2023. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And a brand new year beginning. And even though it's early in our message, you know, when we celebrate another new year beginning and all the life and good things God's given us, hey, we're going to say it early. You ready? Come on now. How sweet it is. Or as Jackie might say it, how sweet it is. All right, there you go. You got it. Now, we're here to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and what? Nothing but the Bible, then apply it to our lives. And I thought, what would be a good, appropriate sermon for the first sermon of the year? To set the tone for our year. A year when we don't know what the year is going to bring. Good, bad, ugly, whatever. So I've got one for us. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beginning of a new year. May this year be crowned as every year has been with your goodness, your faithfulness, your love, your mercy for us. And Father, I pray as we talk today about a very cogent subject, why God lets Christians suffer. Lord, give us supernatural wisdom and supernatural understanding of your word. And Father, use what we study today to teach us, to empower us, and to arm us for the year ahead, even through the tough times you may send us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and what? Come on, amen. Right. Now, you know, a while back, I got a phone call from a dear brother in the Lord, a good friend of mine. And while we were talking, he told me about some tragedy that had struck his family. And one of the questions that he brought up is, Lon, what do I say to people in my family, Christians, when they say, why would God let this happen? Why would God do this? Or if he didn't do it, why would he permit it? A tragedy like this. And I called him by name and I said, brother, listen, I'm not God and I certainly don't know all the reasons why God does things and why God allows things. But there are several reasons in the Bible that are clear. And I'd like to give you one of those today, one that I shared with him. This is not the only reason the Bible says that we're allowed sometimes to experience heartache and tragedy and suffering, but it's one, okay? And it's one that really helps me, myself, get through these tough times. So, are you ready? Okay. I want to begin by reading a passage of scripture to you. It's in James chapter 1, and of course we're using the New King James version of the New Testament. James chapter 1, look at verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, the interesting thing here in this verse is that James talks about the testing of our faith. The testing of our faith. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, that's an interesting question. But before I define it, I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is when Jesus begins telling parables. to his disciples and speaking to them in parables so that, as he says, those who see may see more, and those who don't see will not be allowed to see. Now, that's another message. But here in Matthew chapter 13, the first parable that Jesus tells is the parable of the four soils, the four kinds of soil. And many of us are familiar with this, but let's read it together. Let me put it on the screen. We'll begin at verse 3. And he, Jesus, spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some seeds fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, much soil. And they immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and this was because they had no root, and they withered away. And then some fell among thorns, the seed, and the thorns sprang up and choked the seed. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now the disciples did not immediately understand what Jesus meant by this parable, so Jesus goes on to explain it. Man, how much do we love it when Jesus interprets his own word? Huh, that makes it easy. Okay, verse 18. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the gospel, and does not understand it, then the wicked ones, the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, the hard ground. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution," "when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground, the good soil, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. You say, "Lon, we just read Jesus' interpretation. I still don't understand it." Okay, what does this all mean? There are four kinds of soil, right? The first one is hard soil. The seed lands on it. It's hard as a rock. The seed cannot germinate and go anywhere. Before long, the enemy comes along, whether it's with television or movies or distractions or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or power or career or whatever, snatches the gospel seed away, and the person doesn't even think about it anymore. The second soil is soil that is stony. It doesn't have much earth. So there might be an inch or two of soil, and then it's rock bed. And this is soil where, as Jesus said, the seed is received with excitement, but it has no way to, when it germinates, it has no depth of soil. It can't go down and get nutrients and get water. And so the seed dries up under the persecutions and the suffering of life. You got that now, right? This is a person who the rock bed of self in their heart has not been broken up by the Holy Spirit with his supernatural jackhammer. It has not been cracked open so that the seed has good soil to grow in. And so the seed fades away. The third soil is soil that we call thorny soil, where the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the seed off and it dies. And finally, we have good soil. Good soil. The only people in this parable that are truly saved are those in class number four. Good soil. They bear fruit. You say, what kind of fruit? Well, it could be the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, or it could be the fruit of serving the Lord and having him use their life, or it could be both, which is what I think it is. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. What's that mean? Well, it means not every single person. Does God use them in exactly the same proportion? Some people he uses more, like Billy Graham, and some people he might use less. But it doesn't matter. God doesn't reward you for how much he uses you. He rewards you for your faithfulness and your obedience. So you don't worry about how much he uses you. When we get to heaven, some of the people in heaven with the greatest rewards from Christ are going to be people you never even heard of, who were great prayer warriors or were great witnessers. But they weren't like Billy Graham. They weren't used 100-fold on earth, but that doesn't matter. Now, when I first read this passage, I was a brand new Christian. I started reading through the Gospel of Matthew, as you know, and I came to Christ when I got to Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are burdened down and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll find peace for your soul." Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. I hadn't gotten to 13 yet. And Bob Eckhart, the man who was responsible for helping me come to Christ, took me away with his wife Amy. And we went to a camping area not far from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And we had his Econoline van, and Bob said, "All right, Lon, here's what I want you to do. We'll eat dinner together every day, and we'll have breakfast. But in between, you go off wherever you want to go, and you just read and pray. And we'll be here by the camper, and we'll read and pray, and we'll gather back for dinner, and we'll talk about what we learned today, what we did today." And I thought, that's a great idea. You know, away from Chapel Hill, away from all the distractions there. And so I did that. Now, I also got to tell you, Bob made me sleep on the ground because there was only room for him and his wife in the camper. This is just kind of an aside. And we're in the Dismal Swamp at the southern part of Virginia, the very northern part of North Carolina. That place, when it says dismal, it means dismal. Place is full of wildlife, including lots and lots of snakes, particularly water moccasins. Mean snakes they are, cottonmouths, mean snakes. I was terrified at night. I lay down and I'm terrified of snakes. And I got a rope and put it around my sleeping bag. And me and Noah slept inside the rope. And Bob, he really exhorted me, and he said, you know the Lord now. What are you afraid of? Every night was terror for me. Oh, but back to the story. I was reading in Matthew 13 in this passage as we were there in the swamp one afternoon, and I remember, this is almost 52 years ago, and I remember just as clear as day, sitting on this picnic table where I was and crying out to the Lord and just saying, Oh Lord Jesus, please make sure I'm good soil, Lord. Please make sure I'm not stony soil or hard soil or contaminated soil. Lord, please, I beg you. Now remember, I'm first saved. I don't have 50 years behind me of walking with Christ. I'm brand new. And the seed has sprung up in my life just a week or two before this. And I'm terrified reading about soil number 2 and soil number 3 that I'm going to be one of those soils and then I'm not going to persevere, and I'm not going to make it to heaven, and then I'm not going to be good soil. I'm terrified. I begged God, I pleaded with God to please make sure I was good soil. I remember that to this day. I was desperate. Now, James says that when we go through sufferings, it is the testing of our faith, the assaying of our faith, to see what it's really like. And Jesus says here in Matthew 13 that shallow soil, look what he says here. He says, when tribulation or persecution arises, when suffering comes or tragedy comes, the seed goes out. It fails. It withers. So friends, here's the point I'm trying to make. You're like, yeah, I mean, is there a point here? Yes, there is, my friends, and it's a magnificent point. One of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons God sends suffering and trouble and tragedy and tribulation into our life is to assay our faith. Not because he needs to know what our faith is like, what the true character of our faith is like, but so that we can see what the true character of our faith is like. Is it the kind of no faith that goes with the rocky soil? Is it the kind of shallow faith that goes with the shallow soil? Is it the kind of contaminated faith that goes with the contaminated soil? Or is it good faith that goes with the good soil? And how are you going to know that? Very simply, my friends, persecutions and tribulations come on shallow soil, the seed dries up. You deny the faith, your faith fails. Trouble and the cares of this world come upon contaminated soil, the seed dries up. You walk away from the Lord. Good soil. When tribulation and suffering come on good soil, what does good soil do with the seed? It allows the seed to go down deeper and deeper and deeper, looking for sustenance, looking for moisture, looking for sustaining grace. And rather than walking away from the Lord, people with good soil, whose faith is saving faith, true faith, the real faith, people with that kind of faith persevere, even through the worst of times. The seed doesn't fail. Their faith doesn't fail. But it endures. And yes, it matures. And yes, it becomes more seasoned. And yes, it becomes richer, deeper faith. But the most important thing is that it endures. It does not fail. And no matter how much the Lord chooses to put on us, 1 Corinthians 10:13 said he'll never put more on us than we can bear, but he'll often bring us right to the edge. And no matter how much he puts on us in his wisdom and his sovereignty, as hard as it is, as painful as it is, our faith endures. And what does that do? Friends, that testifies to you and me that we have saving faith. That testifies to you and me that we are good soil, so that we can have confidence as we face the Lord, as we face the grave, that we're not going to get on the other side of the grave and discover that we were rocky soil or contaminated soil, and that the Lord has no place for us in heaven. No, 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 no. We face the grave with confidence that we are good soil. And how do we know it? Because our faith has been tested in the fire of tribulation, in the agony of suffering, in the tragedy of life. But it endured, even through the worst of times. Are you with me? Today, I know that I'm good soil. The Lord answered my prayer back there in the swamp. And how do I know it? Because as James says, he has tested it for me to see that it was good soil in my heart. Because 52 years later, I'm still trusting Jesus. 52 years later, my faith has endured. 52 years later, through some of the worst suffering that I can imagine that I've been through. And I know it could have been worse, but it was bad enough with my daughter Jill and other things, but my faith endured. Even when it hurt so bad, I didn't know if I could get up in the morning, even when it hurt so bad, that I was asking the Lord, Lord, I think you've given me too much, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I don't think I can bear this. Nonetheless, the Lord knew and my faith endured. And now I have that testimony that the Lord has given me, that Lon, I use suffering to show you what kind of faith you have, my son. And what I wanted to show you is that you were good soil back there in the swamp when you were 2 weeks old in the Lord. And that's why 52 years later, you're still going on with me, because, son, you were good soil. You are good soil. Oh, that is so wonderful for me to know. Even though I hate the way he showed it to me and proved it to me in the flesh, I hate it. I'm so glad that he answered my prayer. Now that leads us to our most important question. And I want us to ask it. It's the first one of the new year. So here we go. Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? And my friends, what does all this mean for you and me? Well, back to James. Chapter 1, verse 2, my friends, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is what's going on. Verse 12, blessed is the man or the woman who endures temptation, for when he or she has been proven, that's what's going on, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Is it humanly possible to rejoice in your daughter having seizure after seizure after seizure and calling the rescue squad and being transported to the emergency room and spending the weekend in the hospital and then doing it again 2 weekends later and having your 3 boys to be farmed out to friends for the weekend because we're sleeping in the hospital with our daughter? In the flesh, is it easy to rejoice with that? No, folks. Is it easy to rejoice when a loved one passes away? No. Is it easy to rejoice when some tragedy strikes? No. I was looking at the people in the South who had these terrible tornadoes hit them a week or so ago. Everything flattened, everything gone, all their pictures, all their mementos, everything, all their furniture, everything gone. Easy to rejoice? No. You say, Lon, wait a minute, are you telling me that you did rejoice when you were going through all of that heartache and pain with your daughter, Jill? No, I'm not telling you that, because for the most part, I didn't. I was sad. I felt like I had a little black cloud following me around everywhere I went. And when Jill gets bad, as she does every once in a while, even now, very hard. But I understand why God tells us to rejoice. he tells us to rejoice at least one reason. Because, Lon, I'm assaying your faith, and I'm revealing to you that it's genuine. That you're good soil. That I have reward for you, the crown of life in heaven. Because you're going to make it through this. You're going to stand. And when you're done, as hard as it's been, your faith will have endured and you'll still be standing. So have confidence regarding eternity and your relationship to me, Lon. Because it's been proven that it's genuine. It's a great thing to know. When Brenda and I were going through the worst of those times, and I'll close with this, we had a little mantra we used to say to one another. You might have heard me say this before. We would always say, you know what? We only have two choices today. We can trust God, we can doubt God. See, Lon, I've heard you say that before. Good, good. You can hear me say it again, because we all need to know this. That's it. There are no other choices. And I remember I would always say to myself or to Brenda, I've seen God too much to do too much to doubt him. I can't doubt him. Something inside of me won't let me doubt him. So I have no choice but to trust him. Even though I don't understand, even though I don't like it, even though it hurts, and even though I'm sad, I have no choice but to trust him. Job 13:15. Wow, how I love this verse. Let's put it on the screen. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I still trust him. And that's where I was. But now, wait a minute. Remember I just said something inside of me would not let me doubt God. What was that that wouldn't let me do it? Was it human logic? No. Was it linear thinking? No. Was it some kind of, artificial deal I had made? No. What would not let me doubt him was the Holy Spirit living inside of me, giving me the capacity to have that kind of saving faith, good soil faith, where the seed endures no matter what happens to it. And that would not allow me to doubt God. And folks, you've been, many of you, if you know Christ, you've been in tough spots where you know exactly what I'm talking about. People around you even marveled that you didn't curse God and walk away from him. People around you maybe even tried to talk you into cursing God and walking away from him. But you couldn't. You couldn't. Because you're good soil. Because your faith is genuine. I'm not a five-point Calvinist, but I do agree with P in TULIP. P stands for the perseverance of the saints, and I believe that. By the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're truly a saint, if you're truly born again, if you're truly good soil, you will persevere to the end. Why? Because the seed won't let you do anything different. Because the Holy Spirit inside of you won't let you do anything different. And that's how you know that you're a saint, a follower of Christ. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, he says to the Philippians, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He who has begun a good work in you, the seed was sown, it germinated, it began to grow, began to send its roots down into good soil. He will complete that work that he's done in you until the day of Christ Jesus. You have good faith, you have good soil, you have genuine saving faith. The Holy Spirit's going to see to it, baby, you make it to heaven. You make it to eternal life on the other side of the grave. You got nothing to worry about. So once you've been proven by the Lord with suffering, so that you know your faith is real, you can relax about eternity. Because he who began a good work in you, the day the seed fell on your good soil of your heart, he's going to complete it. Praise the Lord. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And many of us know people who've fallen away. Why did they fall away? Well, I'm not God, but obviously they weren't good soil. And when suffering hit them, tragedy hit them, and things that from God they didn't understand and like hit them, the seed dried up. Why? It wasn't good soil in their hearts. It's just that simple. But praise God. If you're listening to this and you know Christ and you're still standing, baby, your good soil is real. And that's a wonderful thing to know. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we look at a year ahead of us here, and we really have no idea what's coming, Lord. It could be a year of pretty much unbroken success and prosperity and good things. I've had years like that. Or, Lord, it could be a year of pain and suffering and heartache and tragedy. I've had years like that. Either way, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, either way, King, we're sticking with the Lord. Though he slay me, yet I will still trust him. Grant that that might be our testimony in 2023, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Okay, I hope to see you next week on Live with Lon. Happy New Year to you.